The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, April 22nd, 2012, if you're listening live. And whatever other time you might be listening, if you're listening to the recording, welcome aboard and happy Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. So that's going to be at least a part of the focus. We'll see where the flow goes, but let's connect before we get into what we're going to talk about today. So as we begin, as always, connect in first to your own divine light through your heart, through the cells of your body, in whatever way works for you. Open up to allow yourself to experience more of your own power, more of the master that you are. Remember, this is exposing the masters within. Your mastery is already in there. We're just here to let it out more. And this is how we start. All right. With that door opened more fully, it's time to connect down to our Mother Earth on her Earth Day, on her birthday. I like to think of this day as Mother Earth's birthday. And so let's open up to her, open up to that connection that's always there. And Mother Earth is our mother. So this is Mother's Day for us. So let's celebrate it that way. And as we allow ourselves to feel her support and her love for us, as all grateful children, it's a good idea to allow our own gratitude to flow back to her. Not to get anything more from her, but just because that is, well, that's the natural flow of things. We receive and we are grateful. So allow your gratitude and love to flow back to her, opening up that bidirectional flow from her to us, from us to her. And just let yourself feel that support that's always there. As with the best of mothers, her support is unwavering and continuous. And it's there whether we're aware of it or not. So just let that experience of that energy expand in you. Wonderful. All right. And let's expand out in a different direction now to connect more fully, to open, to expose the connections that we have with our angels and guides. All the divine teachers out there who are not in body right now, but who are fully and consciously supporting us while we walk around as bodies. And so just open up those pathways, open up to receiving that support and that love from your guides and angels. All those who are here to help you in your experiences down here. And as you allow that support and love to come in, allow your own gratitude and love to go back. Even though we don't offer the gratitude because we have to, it is a wonderful blessing that as we share our gratitude, we more fully accept what we are receiving and we open ourselves to receive more. Whatever it is we're grateful for, we are opening up doorways to receive more and better. All right. So let's open now and connect with each other, with the community, the Exposing the Masters Within community, all those who are listening live, all those who will listen through the recording at some point in time. We are connected. And in that connection, I am being supported by each of you in bringing through what's going to serve each of you and this community as a whole. So thank you for that. And you are supporting each other. For as we join together in community, part of what makes that more powerful is that our collective intention can receive more than our individual energy can. And so as we come together, we create that larger collective and are able to receive more than we would have otherwise. And so as you receive that support from each other, as we receive that support from each other, allow your gratitude to go out there as well. And allow your offering of support to go back into the community. Wonderful. All right, let's take that connection out. Writ large across the planet. Open up to feel the connection and receive the support of all the light workers on the planet, making that larger energy, that larger intention for empowerment, that larger intention for mastery, for illumination, for enlightenment, for ascension. And allow yourself to receive that support, to take it in as fully as you're able at this moment. And to offer your support in return. As we feed the collective of those intentions, so there is that much more for us all to drink from. And as we drink from that support, there's that much more for us to give. It's a beautiful balancing. So allow yourself to feel that. That extra ease in being able to walk forward together, even if we're not in the same room, even if we never meet. Everything that I do that opens up in this way, everything that you do that opens up in this way, makes it that much easier for everyone else who makes the same choice. So, thank you. For me personally and for the collective, thank you for adding your energy into this community of light workers here to change the planet. And so let's jump in here. Earth Day. I think this is Earth Day number 42. I think the first one was in 1970. Or does that make it? I guess that makes it 43. Anyway, what's Earth Day about? Well, it's about a celebration of connection, I believe. It's about a celebration of the awareness of that collective, of that last place that we went to, although it's the collective with the earth. And I'm often aware of an idea that I'm not sure where it came from originally, whether it was inspired or whether I read it or whether I heard it somewhere. But it's an idea of the Mother Earth as one body. And even as we tend to make, as humans, not necessarily as people here co-creating this today, but as humans, even as we have tended, at least in recorded history, to have God outside of ourselves. The white man with the beard sitting on the throne, etc. I believe we do that with the earth as well, where we see the earth as something that we're not a part of. You know, even a lot of terminology talks about humanity as something other than nature, as something other than one with the earth. Now, again, behaviorally, you can certainly see ways where humanity is not considering itself part of nature, part of everything else. And yet, let's look at this energetically. Let's look at it physically. Let's explore this a little bit. Because for me, in the same way that our divinity is already within us, our earthiness is within us. And I don't mean that in terms of the elements, the four elements, earth, air, water, fire, etc. I mean that in the sense of we are of the earth. Mother Earth is a term that is literal, but it also can separate. It also can give us, in the same way we have, you know, God the Father sitting up there on the throne in heaven with the white beard, we've got Mother Earth below us, and she's distinct from us as well. And yet, this idea that I have about the body of the Mother Earth, that we can compare the earth as a whole with an individual human. And it's not going to be quite literal. You know, she doesn't have a physical heart the way we do, pumping blood, but all of what takes place inside the envelope of the upper atmosphere, all the way down to the very core, the center of the earth, all of it is of one body. And again, may not be a new concept for you, but I'd really like to explore this and go through it. And in doing so, not just think about it, but see if we can open to feel it more. Because, well, if we look at a human body, so each of you has one, or you're not listening to me, or you're one of the guides and angels, in which case this is not so relevant, but thank you for the help. And if we look at the human body, so take a look at your own, and what do you see? You know, you can distinguish pieces of your body, and you can say, this is my hand, and that's my thumbnail, and this is my hair. And if you look in the mirror, these are my eyes and my ears and my nose and my mouth and my teeth, and we can distinguish all of these individual pieces. And yet we also have that collective of the body as a whole. Well, why is that? Because, well, one thing, it's useful for us to know that, well, for most of us anyway, we tend to pick things up with our hands rather than our feet. And so it's good to talk about things that way and share ideas and in that sense with each other. But it's because each of these parts is going to serve a different function. And yet, well, for the most part, for most people, most of the time, ideally, things in the body are working together as a whole. And that consciousness and that energy of working together, I believe, is fed by our divinity. But that's a separate topic. What I'd like to look at here now, and we talked, I mentioned different pieces that are the external ones. Well, let's talk internally as well. So we have the blood, and we have the nerves, and we have the skin, and we have the liver, and the lungs, and the heart, and the tongue, and the colon. If you take most of these pieces out, you've got problems. Some larger than others. People can live with their tongue cut out. There are certain pieces of the body that, yeah, we do tend surgically to remove sometimes, the appendix, the tonsils. There are others that, you know, we can get away with having one gone. There are people who, you know, live with only one kidney. But each one of these things, each one of the internal organs is serving a different function in the same way that the hands are going to serve a different function than the feet for most people. And they're all working together to create this whole. And yes, people can survive without legs or arms or hands or eyes or ears or whatever. But for a fully functioning person, able to do everything that most humans can do, you need all the parts. You need all the parts. And each part fills a different role. Well, so let's look at the body of the earth and the ecosystems and the niches. You know, ever since Darwin wrote Origin of Species and really put forth the idea of evolution, well, that theory was based largely on looking at particular ecosystems, particular bodies on islands, the Galapagos, and looking at the different niches where there were the birds that were eating the insects and the birds that were eating the seeds and the birds that were eating the fruit, and extrapolating the development of one bird to fill a variety of niches, to fill a variety of roles. And each one in that ecosystem filling roles that, yes, others could perhaps evolve into if one disappeared, but they're all working together and co-creating a balance. And to me, a lot of what is wrong with how we view our relationship with the planet comes out of the loss of perceiving ourselves as part of it, that we're something above it. And it depends on how it's interpreted, but I really don't like the line in the Bible, and I can't quote it, but the line in the Bible that is that we are stewards over all the earth. Now, if we were actually stewards and taking care of it, that would be a good thing. But for the most part, we're not, and we've used that. Humanity has used that idea, whether it came from the Bible or not, that we are separate from the rest of nature as – well, it's a distancing. It's an experience of separation. In the same way that we are experiencing separation from our divinity, we're also experiencing separation from our natural physicality because we are feeling ourselves as separate from nature instead of being a part of it. And well, the analogy that I'm going to use here in a minute, a couple analogies actually, of the way that humanity operates on the planet. One of these I used as a paper when I was an undergraduate, so that's quite a few years ago. There's a degree to which it still applies. Now, I also am coming from a different perspective now that is much less judgmental, much less idealistic, I guess, than I was then. But the analogy that I used then, and I don't know that I can flesh out all the details in the same way I did in that paper, but the analogy that I used then was kind of like humanity as cancer on the body of the Mother Earth. And essentially, if you look at the attributes of cancer, one is that it is reproducing itself without regard to the health of the tissues around it. Two is that it goes on rampages and spreads. At least it can. Three, it will go so far as to literally kill its source of life in its disregard for everything around it. Now, I'm not an extremist, and again, I've shifted quite a bit in a lot of things since then, but there are certain things that apply here in that analogy, that humanity is not connecting with the earth. Well, we're not seeing ourselves as cells within the body of the earth working together with other cells. We're seeing ourselves as the one in control. Now, I'm probably speaking to the choir here, preaching to the choir. But I believe that we have the power to change that. And we do that individually. We do that one at a time. We do that each time we go out and connect with nature, or go in and connect with nature. And what I'd actually like to see, yes, I'm all for getting out in nature. Take a walk, go for a hike, plant something, climb a tree, feed the birds, whatever it might look like for you. I'm all for that. But at the same time, if we don't connect with that nature within us, that pure physicality within us, if we separate ourselves from that, continue to separate ourselves from that in the same way that we continue to separate ourselves from divinity, that's what's creating the trouble. Because we're down here not just doing one, we're doing both. We're experiencing separation from spirituality and maybe I'll put it this way, maybe physical nature is not it. Maybe from our animal nature is a better way to put it. That we're looking at animals and, well, we're seeing ourselves as superior to them, rather than as equals to them. How can we ever come to a place of balance and peace on this planet if we are the bully on the block? And again, I don't believe that if you're listening to this, you're likely to be one of those big bullies, but that doesn't mean you're not likely to feel distance from nature, as opposed to a part of it, an integral part of it. So, I sent out an Earth Day email this morning for those of you who got that. I don't know if you looked at it or if you opened it or if you did the offering that was in there, but what I was inspired to send out was about opening into an experience of ourselves as a part of nature and connecting in that way. So if you're willing, what I'd like you to do is just remind yourself that you have a body and move around and get comfortable. And then just close your eyes and go within if you haven't already closed them. And focus in your heart. And what I'd like you to do is imagine that you're back in the womb. But instead of this being the womb of your birth mother, your human mother, what I'd like you to imagine is that this womb is in the Mother Earth. And it's got those earthy smells. Maybe you don't like those smells, so pick another smell. Maybe it can smell like spices for you. But I really like that smell of the forest and the woods. And it's obviously dark, as any womb would be. But I'd like you to just imagine that that was what we tend to call topsoil, really dark, dark black soil that you're in. And it's very loose and you're having no trouble breathing. You have an earth umbilical cord that's giving you all the nutrients. And funny, imagine that. It looks like roots. Looks like roots. And you just feel yourself there and feel the safety and the contentedness of being in the womb. There's nothing you have to do, nothing you have to accomplish, nothing you have to think about. Everything is taken care of. And then, and this is like the amniotic fluid, and then there's moisture around you. And it's very comfortable and it's warm. It's a nice temperature. But something about it causes you to feel the need to stretch. And so you just start stretching. And suddenly, your eyes break free of the surface of the ground. And you find yourself growing up, a plant, a bush, a tree, a flower. It can be whatever kind of plant you like, but you just find yourself growing up. And at the same time as you're growing up, you're growing down. You're feeling yourself stretching in both directions, out of the earth and more deeply into her. And you can feel the beautiful sun warming you even further, causing you to have more energy and even more urge to grow, to expand. And you're going up and you're expanding out now. And you're just taking that in. And you're drinking moisture up out of the earth and nutrients, you're getting fed all the way around. And the wind, the breeze just feels beautiful as it caresses you and causes your leaves in whatever form they are to talk, to whisper, to share with the others. And the rain comes occasionally and washes you clean and you drink your fill. And eventually you give forth and flowers come out of you. And you feel these spots of beauty. And they just start expanding and expanding and expanding until the flowers come forth. And then the animals, the bees, the other insects, you find them around you, moving over you, cleaning you, finding companionship with you, finding a home near you, finding food from you. Animals come as well. Maybe a dog lifts his leg. And funny, you find that to be warm and soothing and beneficial. All part of a unified whole, and you can feel your brothers and sisters around you. You can connect energetically in the earth. You can connect through the air. You have awareness of each other. You have awareness of all the insects and the animals, the birds, all the beings around you. And they all belong, even as you do. Nothing is out of place. Just one perfect, interactive, co-creative world. And allow yourself to reach out even further as you continue to grow with your roots and with up into the heavens, up into the atmosphere. And you can perceive this kind of connectedness everywhere. The particular forest you're in has waters rushing through it, that streams go down to rivers, go down to larger rivers, go down to the ocean. Everything is joined. The water evaporates and comes back down as rain somewhere far away. And the connections and the interconnections, the air that you breathe comes back out of you, oxygen rich, and goes to the animals, and they breathe it in and feed you back the carbon dioxide. And your awareness of the interconnections continues to expand across the continent. And it reaches out into the waters and feels the fish and the crustaceans and the water itself. And you feel that air, not just as something you breathe, but as something that surrounds you. It's part of home. And it connects you with everyone else, everything else. And you reach down. It's almost like you can hear what's going on beneath the bottoms of your roots. You can hear down into the earth, the furnace, the fire, the magma, all the constant creation going on down there. And reach down with your energy to feel the very heart of Mother Earth. And feel the love of that connectedness, that interconnectedness, that true first worldwide web, joining everything together, joining everyone together, joining every being together. Wonderful. And now what I'd like you to do is to take your physical, animal, human nature and allow that to merge with this nature of plantness. And imagine that you're the tree or the plant or the bush or the flower that can move around from place to place, but retaining as you go that sense of community, that sense of oneness, that sense of home, that sense of co-creation. And let those merge within you. As deeply as you're able. And now down all of those connections that you have with everyone else on the planet and every other being who's not in a human form,
allow this sense of interconnectedness to flow down into your relationship more fully. Not about speaking the words, although you may. It's about sharing the experience. And be open. Be open to receiving in return from them. All right. And allow yourself to come back into whatever space you're in and open your eyes again when you're ready. But let yourself come back gradually. And let yourself carry as much of that energy of interconnectedness, as much of that energy of yourself as a cell of the body of Mother Earth rather than as a separate being. And it's not that we're seeking to erase individuality or free will or choice or any of that. We're seeking to expand to another level of consciousness where that is not about having to fight, where it's not about surviving, where it's not about proving our worth. The more we own our divinity, the more we own our animality. Is that a word? The more we own our animal nature, the more we can be in both of what the world calls the polarities of the spiritual and the physical, the more we can own both of them, the less we will struggle with separation from either of them or them from each other. It's all divine, and as long as we're in body, it's also all physical. And let that be an experience, not just words. I'm not going to sing it, but what comes to mind is a song that Michael Jackson did with a lot of other guest stars, We Are the World. We are the world. It's not just that we're on the world. We make up the world with all the other beings, with all the rocks and the trees and the animals and the birds and the bees and the plants. And the more we get that, the more this consciousness will change. And we will have the individual lives and the community lives and the lives across the planet that we are desiring to have. So happy Earth Day, everyone. And may we each be as little like cancer as possible. Now, I'm not here making fun of those of the sign of the crab. Anyway, all right. A tiny little piece of advertising before we go into the channel. In 2 weeks from yesterday will be the next gateway activation. It will be the Gateway of Peace. And it will be a dual event. It will also be the Wesak Festival, where we celebrate the Buddha, the birth, the death, the enlightenment, and where in the Himalayas somewhere the Ascended Masters will gather to bring in energies for the coming year, for the entire year. So we will go there as a group as part of that event. Combining those two events together, and we will bring back powerful energies into our lives and for the planet. And we will, well, each one of you will end up with a bottle of Wesak water that has been blessed by those energies. Had a friend and client who actually used a radionics machine. I don't know, did I say this last week? Who used a radionics machine to measure the energy of the Wesak water that we create. That we created last year. So it's almost 11 months old. or almost a year old, and she was quite amazed by how much energy was in this water. Even though that's what I had been told, and that's what I had certainly put out with people, that that water would retain its vitality, and the vitality was far more than just regular water would be. But it's there. We can use it. We can carry it with us through the year and bless our water and expand our energy and come to know our divinity more directly and powerfully. So that's going to be in 2 weeks. And I just, in that email I put out this morning about the Earth Day piece, one of the things I came to at the end of that email was to basically make the announcement that I'm ready to launch one of the pieces of work that I received over 2.5 years ago now, that I've had to do a tremendous amount of my own healing and personal growth to get to the place where I could bring it out. And the world had to get to the place where it was ready to receive it. But it is an earth changer, and it changes the rules for the healing and the spiritual path. And it changes a lot of things for each of us individually as we would choose to use it, for those who resonate with it. And I will be talking more about that as I continue on. It's not up on the website yet, but it will be soon. And just wanted to put it out there. And that's called the PASS process. For those of you who do know what that is, who have experienced gateways with me, you have a sense of it, at least an inkling of the start of it. And I'll be putting more forth about that over the upcoming weeks, and hopefully within a month that will be on the website. That's the plan. So stay tuned for more. All right, let's go do some channeling. And if you will, as always, allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever might be coming to speak with us today. Welcome, this is Pan, come to be with you today. To celebrate. It's time to celebrate, dear ones. You have the tendency, maybe not you individually, but you collectively, you humans have the tendency to make such drudgery of walking the path of healing, of growth, of awareness, of all of these things that have the words that make it sound so damn serious. Have a beer. Have a glass of wine. Have some chocolate. Have some sex. Have some fun, for God's sake. God, goddess, whatever you want to call that energy that is the all that is, invented fun too, and play, and play, and play, and play, and play. And that's a good broken record if you're going to have a broken record. And play, and play. And so, you want to serve the earth today? Skip a little bit. Skip a little bit. Laugh. Laugh. Eat something you love, that even just thinking about it makes your mouth water. Allow your imagination to run wild. Imagine the world you desire, your little corner of it and the big one, and breathe into it and play with it. Mold the earth like it were clay or putty. And part of it is clay. But you can mold all of it, even if it's not made of clay. Allow your mind to play with possibilities. Because the more you play with the possibilities of what could be, the more you transform what is. Seriousness creates rigidity. And rigidity creates seriousness. It's a stranglehold. It's a deadly cycle. And both of them, seriousness and rigidity, cause snoring. They cause people to go to sleep. You don't want to be asleep in your life. You want to wake up. But that means doing something different. Because when you've done something over and 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 over again, and even over once more, you get used to it. Variety is the spice of life. Well, yes, it is. It brightens things up. Change is not all negative, dear ones. Fear of change is what's negative. Fear of change is the problem. So you need to get used to it. You know what? It is actually better to live where there are four seasons. Hello! Someone's calling. How about that? It is better to live where there are four seasons. Why? Because you get more variety. Because you have more things happening than when you are just having the same day over and over and over again. Go watch Groundhog Day, dear ones. Watch that movie. It's a very good movie. Well, it's not necessarily a good movie, but it does have great things about it. It allows you to see the power that you have to change things. But you can't change them by being serious. You have to change them by playing with them. Because seriousness says you're stuck. Seriousness says you cannot have change. Seriousness says you have to watch out for change because it could make it worse. Blah, 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 blah. Nature is changing all the time. It's changing all the time, even in those places where you don't have four seasons. Even in those places where you don't have four seasons, what you do have is change when you look for it. And so look for it. You won't see change unless you look for it. Not really. It might beat you over the head. It might force you to see it. But that's where that fear comes from. But it only beats you over the head if you've been avoiding it. Fear is like the mob. Fear of change is like the mob. If you're not playing by the rules of change, change will make you play by its rules. It will force you to. So if you're not noticing what's going on, if you're not paying attention in the short term, if you're not playing by the rules that there's nothing here but change, if you're playing by trying to hold on to what is, for whatever reason, whether you think that's the best you can get, or whether you just like your comfort zone, then you're going to get whacked. Not with a bullet to the back of the head necessarily like the mob, but with discomfort. Because the old you will always outgrow doesn't mean all of your old relationships. Doesn't mean your friendships or your family necessarily, but what it does mean is how you are interacting with them. Why would it not change? You're all getting older. Hmm? Day by day by day, moment by moment by moment. And we don't mean the aging process. We mean the counting of days. You're the ones who apply aging to that and make the counting of days turn into something that's going wrong with you. Play, and you will be younger. Play, and you will be more alive. Play, and you will be more creative. For creativity, true creativity, does not come through seriousness. It comes through flexibility. By its very nature, that is what it is. That is what it is. So you wish to celebrate the earth today? Wonderful. Then play with it. Play with that vision of what she is. Play with that vision of what you are. Celebrate yourself as the birth of you. Celebrate yourself as part of earth, not as celebrating earth as separate from you. Celebrate yourself in unity. Go lay down on the earth, preferably with no clothes on. Well, only where you can get away with that. Because the temperature is correct and there is no one around who is going to report you. And where there's not biting ants. Go lay down on the earth and allow yourself to feel her as your bed, as your couch, as your friend, as your mother, as your child, as your colleague, as your family, as yourself. Yeah, you can take your clothes off or not. That doesn't matter. But when you can allow yourself to feel the Mother Earth in all of those roles, including as yourself, then you will be opening to and owning the power of creation, because then you will know the truth of this reality, that you are not separate from divinity and you are not separate from physicality, and you are both, always. And that is where the power of creation lives. Have fun, dear ones. Have fun. Namaste. All right. Thank you, Pan. Thank you, Pan. Yeah, what a great idea. To feel into how many roles we can connect with Mother Earth through. I don't know that I said that very well. Anyway, a little rainy, a little cold to do that here today. But we don't actually have to be on the earth. We can do that wherever we're at, I think. So, try it on your floor, on your couch, in your bed. Just feel into those roles. She plays them all for us. All right. Well, I think it's time to close the doors on another program. If you would, start those chimes, Doug. That would be great. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here today, for co-creating what we brought forth, and for all that you're doing out there in each and every moment to come more into your power, to come more into your light, to come more into your mastery. I cannot do this show without you and your co-creative energies, so thank you for that as well. Please let me know what you think. Send me emails. Give me calls. Let me know what you'd like to hear more of, less of, questions you'd like answered, topics you'd like covered, people you'd like me to bring on as guests. I will bring on a guest in May. Get to more of that next time around. I will be back same time, same place next week. I wish you a wonderful week. You never know where this show will go. You never know where you're going to go until you get there. So much love, much fun in the choosing. Namaste, my friends.